I took off for a weekend last month just to try and recall the whole year. All the faces and all of the places, wondering where they all disappeared. I didn't ponder the question too long. I was hungry and went out for a bite. Ran into a chum with a bottle of rum, and we wound up drinking all night. It shows changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes. Nothing remains quite the same. With all of our running and all of our cunning, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. Reading departure signs in some big airport reminds me of the places I've been. Visions of good times that brought so much pleasure makes me want to go back again. If it suddenly ended tomorrow, I could somehow adjust to the fall. Good times and riches and sons of a bitches, I've seen more than I can recall. These changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, nothing remains quite the same. Through all of the islands and all of the highlands, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. I think about Paris when I'm high in red wine. I wish I could jump on a plane. And so many nights I just dream of the ocean. Oh, God, I wish I was sailing again. Yesterdays are over my shoulder, so I can't look back for too long. There's just too much to see waiting in front of me. And I know that I just can't go wrong with these changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes. Nothing remains quite the same. Through all the islands and all of the highlands, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. If we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. If we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. Trouble is, no matter what your latitude in the United States today, the attitudes are pretty much the same. And a lot of people must have been unable to laugh, because it sure seems like they're all insane, and not in a good way. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming to you live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Remember, it's a listener-supported network, and they deserve your support. So head on over to freedomslips.com. Give them a donation. Get some cool stuff in return, you know, if you put in a good donation. And be sure to mention the New American Dream Radio Show. And now, I am proud to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we are proud to welcome as guests an anti-war writer from Brooklyn and now Florida, perhaps the most dynamic member of the Catholic Worker Movement, one of the original members of the Black Panther Party, the only person in the world who is making a concerted effort to communicate with prisoners and publish their writings, and one of the most hardworking, eclectic researchers of the Bigfoot phenomenon. Just to say, the Bigfoot topic is not wacko. It's part of our wonderful world that we only get to see in diluted shades like our chemtrail-covered blue sky. It's part of the truth, just as the truth about Oklahoma City is part of the big truth, 9/11 in Paris, and UFOs, the murder of Bobby Kennedy in Orlando. We need the truth about it all. We deserve the truth about it all, and we will have the truth about it all. So we have a great show coming up with two special guests: Phil Ferruccio, Frank Perdero, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Raisin, and Kalis. So tonight we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Des Moines, in northern Minnesota, Fort Lauderdale, Chicago, Port Orange, Minneapolis, Benton, Mississippi, and wherever you are. My recommended for this week, one is Jill Stein. Go to YouTube. Jill Stein, the title is The Two-Party System is Broken. Another one is The Occupation of the American Mind, Israel's Public Relations Revolution's War in the United States. Pink Floyd's Roger Waters narrates new documentary focusing on Israel's public relations war in the U.S. Also this, The Occupation of the American Mind, Israel's public relations war in the United States. With two presidential candidates like Clinton and Trump, and with real people like Bernie Sanders and Jill Stein elbowed out of the way, you have to think there's no way to overcome the dire situation in this country. But we still have reason to be proud. Those people who dig find the truth, such as Kevin Barrett. Go to Kevin Barrett, Veterans Today, talking about Orlando. Orlando nightclub shooting, another false flag. Fighting Donald Trump is not the issue. Fighting the corruption of this one-party system is the issue. This is another one. California reveals mass election fraud. Hillary Clinton nomination a coup. Also, Google Orlando false flag. Red Silver Day, that's all I got to say. Another one, Truth versus News. That's a show on YouTube. Go to Jim Fetzer and Scott Bennett. Discuss the Orlando false flag. Another one, Jim Fetzer, Gary King, discuss the Orlando false flag. That's on NBC. And another one, Reason Magazine, YouTube video. It's entitled A Milestone for Women. Libertarian women reflect on the historic nomination of Hillary Clinton. Now back to you, Chuck. Oh, I'm sorry, Chuck. My fault. Ladies and gentlemen, we are waiting to hear from President Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, the 42nd or maybe 43rd President of this Republic, but who's counting? I know, right? And so it's in the 40s. He is now meeting with his secret committee to plan this week's burials at sea, wedding drone attacks, terror events, just as he does every week. Okay, while we're waiting, here's Wolf Blitzer to read Benjamin Netanyahu's new book of nursery rhymes, My Pet Eagle, cover art by former President George W. Bush. And now, here he is, your Uncle Tom and mine, straight out of Kenya, the CIA and the NSA. Let's give a big hand to Barry Satoro, President from Sea to Shining Sea. He's got a really big show today. Let's hear it. Here's Barry.
Hello, American people, American man, American woman, American kids, American old people. I've just met with my National Security Council as part of our regular effort to review and intensify our campaign to destroy the terrorist group, ISIL. I'm sure you've heard about all this stuff in Orlando. It's increasingly clear that the killer took in extremist information and propaganda over the internet. He appears to have been an angry, disturbed, unstable young man who became radicalized on the internet. As we know all too well, terrorist groups like ISIL have called on people around the world and here in the United States to attack innocent civilians. And during his killing spree, the shooter in Orlando pledged allegiance to ISIL, ordered takeout from China King, and reached level 4 on Call of Duty Black Ops. As I've said before, these lone actors or small cells of terrorists are very hard to detect, very hard to prevent, but across our government at every level, federal, state, and local, military, and civilian, we're doing everything in our power to stop these kinds of attacks. Our extraordinary personnel, our intelligence, our military, our homeland security, our law enforcement have prevented many attacks and saved many lives, and we can never thank them enough. I want to reiterate our objective in this fight. Our objective, our mission is to destroy ISIL. Lastly, here at home, if we really want to help law enforcement protect Americans from homegrown extremists, the kind of tragedies that occurred at San Bernardino and that now have occurred in Orlando. No, really. Hey, I'm talking here. Hey, if the implication is that those of us up here and the thousands of people around the country and around the world who are working to defeat ISIL aren't taking the fight seriously, including the special forces that I ordered to get Bin Laden, seriously, we need to get on the same page, bring something to the table, take it to the next level. They know full well who the enemy is. So do the intelligence and law enforcement officers who spend countless hours disrupting plots and protecting all Americans. 2 weeks ago, I was at the commencement ceremony at the Air Force Academy. And it could not have been more inspiring to see these young people stepping up, dedicated to serve and protect this country. That's what will preserve our values and our ideals that define us as Americans. That's how we're going to defend this nation. And that's how we're going to defend our way of life. Thank you very much. And always remember, my fellow Americans, Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See? Those buildings just fell down. There's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville that went all the way into that hole, and no, there's no blood and no bodies and no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea.
Our first guest this evening is M.K. Davis. M.K. Davis has been researching the Patterson Sasquatch film for the last 18 years. He has traveled extensively and has amassed one of the largest collections of images from the film. M.K. has trekked Buff Creek Drainage in Northern California on many occasions, and his observations have led to several important discoveries on the film itself. And M.K. will be speaking to us from his home in Benton, Mississippi, and Chuck will get M.K. on the line right about now. You can also go online to find the Patterson or the Davis Report, the Davis Report online to find MK's work.
Hello.
Well, hello, M.K. It's Chuck and Mike at the True American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
All right. I'm in Bogalusa, Louisiana, on the road. I just left a little while ago one of the more famous hot spots for Bigfooting, and that would be Honey Island down in the southern end of the Pearl River in Louisiana near the Gulf Coast. Honey Island rose to fame as a Bigfoot hotspot back in the 1960s and 70s with the Search-Up series with Leonard Nimoy. They featured a show called The Swamp Monster, and it featured a gentleman by the name of Harlan Ford, who allegedly saw and tracked an incredible monster that lived in and frequented an island where the Pearl River split in two and formed an island in the middle of a huge miasm, a swamp. And Harlan Ford was able to cast tracks, and him and a friend by the name of Billy Mills, and when they came forth with their story, a number of other people came forward as well. An older gentleman by the name of Ted Williams said that he had seen the same monster. So it seemed likely, you know, that something was lurking around down there in those dismal swamps down in southern Louisiana. So it attracted folks like me to come down there and check it out for themselves. And I went down there with a friend of mine, Jay Michael. And we went down to the actual place. I spoke with his son, Holland's son, Barry, and he told me exactly where it took place. We went down there, and we had to walk about 2 miles in just absolutely sweltering heat, mosquito-infested, snakes, alligators. But we made it to this really scenic area where there was a spillway, a beautiful waterfall, and there were some people in there that had come in by boat. And we struck up a conversation with them, and lo and behold, this girl named Michelle, she says, "Well, my Uncle Ricky's, he's got a shoe that was used to make the tracks." And I said, "What?" And she gave us his address, and we hiked out of there and went and found Ricky. His name was Ricky Holofield. And he couldn't find the shoe at first, but he made a phone call, I guess to his wife or someone. And he came, went in there and went up in the storage up in the attic and came down with it. And it was verbatim just exactly like the tracks that Harlan Ford cast him. So I dismissed Harlan Ford's story after that. And I really had no choice. But I've always kind of kept it in the back of my mind that this place is one of the wilder places in America, and that this Pearl River water system goes all the way up to north central Mississippi, and it has a number of places along that river system, sightings of Bigfoot. So, last year, I went to Honey Island just impromptu, unannounced, no one knew it but me, and I found some rather fresh sign. And that's the first time that I have ever personally found sign that something like that could exist in that swamp. So that made me kind of stop and think. And when I went back today, I found some more fresh sign. So that's two times I've gone that I found fresh sign. And so now, I learned a long time ago that when someone asked me about a certain place or a certain sighting, I've learned to say, this is my current thinking. Because that could change. Because evidence changes. So, Harlan Ford, how do you explain the rubber shoe, the rubber foot on the shoe? Well, the only way I can explain it is, and this is what happens oftentimes, that someone will have a Bigfoot sighting, a real deal, a genuine sighting, and then, because Bigfoot will not come back on demand, you can't say, "Show up here and I'll show you Bigfoot." That it tempts some people to construct some evidence so that they can. And when he got television attention on a nationally broadcast show, well, the temptation was mighty strong. But even then, that's just a theory. Harlan Ford is deceased. And I always keep in mind that the deceased cannot defend themselves. So a gentlemanly thing for me to do is to just find my own evidence, if it's there to be found, and then I can compare it to Harlan Ford's and maybe get an idea of what he was actually doing. By the way, Harlan Ford actually still, he was able to get a short film of it, and you can find it on YouTube. Just type in Honey Island Swamp Monster film. It's pretty interesting. I've done a breakdown on it. There's nothing on the film that I can find that disqualifies as being real. You know, it's kind of through the brush, but there's a few points in time where it's kind of open. And it is. It's scant at best. But, you know, when you got a place like the Honey Island, it's your chances go up a little bit. It's like Love Creek, California. It's such a rough place. The people don't go off in there very far. You know, they get eat up by mosquitoes. So if there's a Bigfoot to be hiding out, that's a good place to hide out. Honey Island has hidden out pirates. It hid out Newton Knight. There's going to be a movie out called The Free State of Jones with Matthew McConaughey. His character is Newton Knight, a historical character that lived in Mississippi. He fought against the Confederacy, which is kind of unusual during the Civil War, and he hid out in the Honey Island swamp. So that swamp has long been a place things people go to, animals go to find concealment and to find be alone. So, you know, it's not surprising. Another thing that I found out today about Honey Island was all the waterways in Honey Island, the sloughs, the bayous, are contaminated with unacceptable levels of mercury. And when I saw that, it reminded me about Bluff Creek, California. And Bluff Creek, California had very high levels of mercury due to the mining that was done there, the mining, and also the fact that it has some of the largest reserves of the mineral cinnabar, which contains mercury. It's a high grade. And I don't know what connection they might have, but it wasn't lost on me that two hot spots separated by thousands of miles where Bigfoot is seen more than the average number of times, both had high levels of mercury. So keep that under your hat there. It may mean nothing, but then again, it may mean a lot. Depends on what we learn later on. And like I said, I think that as part of research, it's mostly being observant and paying attention. For anybody who would like to see the evidence that I found today, they can go to my Facebook page, MK Davis. If you can't see the pictures, just put in a request for friendship, and I will okay it, and you can look at the photos. Matter of fact, I might just go back and change it to public, and then you can look at it anyway. I think it's significant, and it wasn't anything that anyone could have set up, because no one knew I was going to Honey Island. It was completely, impromptu and spontaneous. And when you find evidence like that, you know you hadn't been hoodwinked. So, is there something in Honey Island? But you watch your back when you're in there. Let's see, where am I getting from?
Thank you so much, MK. It's good to get a live report like that.
It was a revolution. Heritage Radio at freedomsource.com. We'll be right back.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
They're gonna stop us! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious that you're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to integrate to the people who run it, to the people who own it. They're not your friends.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You call down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
You
call
on our government, and I'll come in with you.
Revolution Radio.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
no,
it.
Oh no, no!
I'm sorry, you have.
Come on. I'm starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, and above all, we believe in freedom of existence and self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if food prices go crazy, this hits the fan, or if you just want to spend tons of money every year by creating your own food, like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need to ask humans to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and offering living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up the package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
When we go to lunch, it goes in the cut.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or source.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth. about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the Empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
The 15-year-old Taco Bell girls softball team placed third in the weekend tournament at Mount Carl. They would have placed second, maybe first, but they didn't. They placed third. On page 6 of the weekly Wednesday Miracle, everyone would have learned, but nobody read it, that 10,000 children in Central Africa had died from starvation, and that 10,000 more would die in the coming week. On the green chip tables outside the Liberty City swimming pool, fat people sat licking ice cream cones and wiggling their toes to get rid of the little red ants. A woman and a man were on one side of the table. She wore a two-piece cherry red suit with bits of hair like cactus poking out between her legs. The man wore jean shorts with the ends frizzled. His knees glowed red. The lunch area slumped outside the chain-link fence around the square pool. Two picnic tables outside the snack bar, which was part of the pool building complex, that also included changing rooms, bathrooms, and showers.
The lifeguard blasted her whistle at someone taking too many warm-ups on the diving board. A droplet of sweet sweat formed on the forehead of the woman. It sat there, stuck for a moment in a crevice.
Just at that moment, a unit of U.S. Marines opened fire on a group of civilians north of Kandahar. They walked up to their kill and bent down to claim jewelry, sunglasses, rings. One of the men took a pocket knife from his back pocket. He sliced the finger of the young boy at his feet. The blood gushed out, but he could still see to work. He sawed and sawed until he cut the index finger through, then reached to his other back pocket for a baggie. They dropped the bleeding, swelling, bruising finger inside.
The pool was full of splashing and open mouths, like a trout farm tourist trap on the highway. A very similar sweet sweat droplet like the one on the woman formed on the forehead of the man. He breathed deep to catch his breath. The lifeguard blasted her whistle again to signify break time, everybody out. The man and woman looked at each other and then at their children. The droplets of sweat grew ever larger as the sun settled into 2 o'clock. No clouds were visible in the light blue. Both beads of perspiration began to move, heading intuitively for the nose passageway. Both man and woman began to breathe heavily. They looked at each other. The woman licked sweat from her upper lip with a cow tongue.
A man, a woman, now three children, slid on their bellies on the rocks and burrs under the fence and looked both ways, then sprinted across the opening just as the white and green Border Patrol SUV pulled out from behind the bushes, throwing rocks the size of hand grenades with lights flashing.
The ball of salt water on the woman's nose skidded down, flew off the nose, and slid over her sumptuous, closed, chewing mouth. She stared out over the parking lot like a Holstein on afternoon break. She ran her red tongue out long and licked the runny, melting, spent ice cream cone, keeping the bottom from dripping onto her gigantic, powerful thighs, and looked over at her man. She adjusted a strap on her suit by repositioning her bottom on the flaking bench. In the meantime, his sweat pustule leaped from his nose to his belly and held tight to a clump of hair. Peering down into the black hole in the belly, he wheezed, coughed, and tried not to stop breathing. Her sweat found its way down and around the chin and whooshed playfully over the moguls, down her neck, where it rolled and rocked like a small boat in an ocean storm, ending up on her bosom where it stared into the darkness. He looked at her and she at him, letting their accumulated sweat fall over their chests and legs, leg rash and red knees. They breathed deeply and stared at each other, mouths partially open for air, like carp left on the bank, on purpose.
The young U.S. soldier in Afghanistan carefully sealed the bag he closed, slowly running his index finger and thumb along the green lines. He folded the bag once and shoved the finger and baggie into his back pocket as he ready to move on with the others, picking up his weapon as he stood. In the desert, the woman and man and three children ran, then ran faster. They split, running different directions, like rabbits bred to the skill. The woman stumbled forward, her face and hands pawing up grass and rocks and brambles, as the green and white Border Patrol vehicle skidded on two wheels to make the dirt corner, skidding to a stop. A dusty front tire just feeling her left temple.
The lifeguard blew her whistle, signaling that break time was over. Like frogs escaping the feet of a hiker, the swimmers leaped into the water. The woman opened her lips wide, let loose her longing, lapping, wet tongue, welcoming in the rest of her dripping, saggy, soppy, lifeless cone. She chewed once and swallowed. The man snorted and coughed and bent over to spit. He grabbed his knees and looked as if he might vomit, then sat straight to wipe his face with the back of his hand. The two got up to go back into the pool area as the children wiped their sticky fingers on the grass. Our next guest of the evening is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero is a member of the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He is a former Catholic priest. He has spent over 6 years in federal prison for various actions in protest of the U.S. military machine. And Chuck spoke to Frank earlier in the day in Des Moines at the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And we'll get that going right about now.
Chuck. Well, hello, Frank. How are you? Oh, hot. But might as well go ahead and talk. So,
okay, go for it.
Well, hasn't been much rain, and it's been over 90 pretty much every day since the last time we talked. So the weather is a big issue here. Pretty much knocks us down. Try to have 100 fans going on just to move the air, the illusion of coolness. But that's just the way it is. I cooked a great meal. A lot of folks ate. We're gearing up for the 6 o'clock. And I'm over here in my room trying to muster my mind to put together the outline, help put together the outline for our next newsletter. It's a quarterly, the Via Pace. So this is a life that I live. Cook a meal and put out a propaganda rag. I try to live with some decency and clear-headedness in these really dark times. It's kind of a disheartening. I just the way it is. Every 4 years, I feel like this country goes through some kind of an emotional thing. It could be as basic as a national menstrual cycle, because it's that dramatic, the electoral process. What we just don't calculate is all the energy put into this thing. God darn it, you know, the Brits do it in 3 months. Most places do it in far less. We're always selling a government. I mean, they're always in it. So, and then the big moral question about voting, for God's sake. Well, Jesus, yeah, okay, vote. I'm not saying it means nothing, but it means next to nothing, so it shouldn't take but next to nothing of your time, 5 minutes. Hmm. And then if you're going to devote any time to the electoral process, I devote it to street work that's delegitimizing what's going on. It's rather discouraging, actually, because there's so little activism going on. Much of the energy that you normally have with people is siphoned off by these elections, even within my own community. I mean, what can I say? Some of our folks are working on campaigns. I mean, we're not, we don't enforce anarchism. We just kind of frown on them, and that we certainly, the over the long haul, most people give up on such silly things. Well, that's my triad here in Des Moines. Anything suits you would like to ask me?
Well, I don't know, Frank. It's been hot here, but it's been under 90 at least. It's funny, everybody thinks that it's going to be hotter in Florida than anywhere else, but not the case.
Oh. How close are you to Orlando?
About 3 hours.
Yeah, well, we're all very close to it right now.
Demon. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Sad. Grief.
Yeah.
Just grief.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded. And just, what do we do? Or what do we? How else can we say it? What else do we have to say? This country is just off the scales when it comes to guns.
Hmm.
I don't think we have a clue. We really don't. There's so much about this culture that is so abnormal from the rest of the human species that makes us really insulated from even understanding ourselves. That's the best I can do. We live so deeply in denial and an arrogance that just cannot apologize or actually say they're sorry. It's a really strange culture. And I'm in the midst of a church that's certainly caught up in it, as the Catholic Church is prone to do. That's how it survives. It's kind of a similar hatred culture. Can't say much for its Christianity, but it certainly does adapt. In this dark age, I do not know any institution that is not tethered to property and portfolio. And their leadership has to work within the confines of that reality. And that is so sad, because it's killing us. It's taken over. Fascinating corporations. They're really just insurance policies for the wealthy to make a profit. The first corporations came out of London, and these jokers were the ones who did the slave trade. Very, very lucrative, but very, very costly if you lose a ship. But if all the rich people came together and put their money together, then they can buy 90 ships, and they lose 10. But who cares? They still make a ton, and the loss is dissipated. And that's corporations. That was the profit off slavery.
Yeah.
And now it makes profit off of everything. It's a very hideous spirit that has captured capitalism.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Well, don't get me going. It's so damn hot. It's just so damn hot. I gotta go.
Go cool down, Frank. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our next guest of the evening is Anthony Reason. Anthony Reason will speak to us from Chicago. Anthony Reason is an American anarchist, activist, and author. He runs the South Chicago ABC Zine Distro and publishes many zines and pamphlets, often containing the writing of inmates in American prisons. DePaul University holds a special collection of Reason's work, which you can find online. And we'll get Anthony Reason on the line right about now.
Hello.
Hello, Anthony. We're running a little bit late tonight, so you're only going to have 7 or 8 minutes. So I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Well, you know, I deal with the yearnings of prisoners and the yearning for education and insight and help with their lives. And one way I do that is with the extended interview. I interview conscious prisoners, and they interview me. This is taken from an interview done of me by Coyote and Abigail. They asked me like 35 extensive questions, and the interview lasts over 300 pages. Anyway, here's the first question of the interview. The The series is called Please Elaborate. It says, I will start out with a somewhat lightweight question just to get you warmed up, even though I know you stay ready, so I wouldn't doubt it if you get deep and philosophical with your answer. But I would like you to elaborate in your own words the Anthony Rason definition of respect. Please elaborate. Respect is defined as active looking back, giving particular attention, consideration, particular detail learned concerning. It's the attention to detail of life. It's the mastery of oneself to his or her surroundings. You deal in reality. You give everything its proper respect. Have a sensitivity to all the life and circumstances around you. Have a healthy respect for danger and a deep understanding of why things are the way they are, and give proper respect to the reality and approximate and appropriate response to it. Help keep others from danger. Intervene if they are in danger. In other words, work at having them thrive in your company. Pass on loving thoughts and strong ideas. Be yourself, react in real time to situations, and be square with people. Respect your own soul to know what the best way to look at some dilemma is. But be in tune enough to change your mind based on the sound argumentation from another person. Admit to yourself and others when you fail by getting lazy and being mean or stupid or something. Respect is an unequivocal toleration for others, but also the presence of mind to hear them out and respond to them with intelligent thought, pertinent to what they have just said. It's a special gallantry toward life. Inanimate objects are just that, things. They may be important, but by themselves they can do nothing. It's all about how the dominant animals on Earth, humans, control everything down to human relations and thinking, and how best we can help change the suicidal course this coercive society is on. It's living in your own realm of self-created humanity and not being poisoned by the cacophony of madness and hope-crushing thinking so prevalent around us. It's guiding, not goading yourself to be good. Doing the right thing is rewarded by love and respect, the ultimate gift we are energized from. Hey, sometimes you just don't click with someone, or something was misinterpreted or got too heated or somehow ruined. Okay, respect that person enough to just forget trying to work with them. Don't badmouth them. Move on. Don't get down and find other people. And again, man up and apologize if you are the dunderhead that screwed the relationship up. We have to discover our humanity and put ourselves in the mix of society. We're highly social animals. We want and need and can only really thrive in groups. We should care about each other's needs and feelings first and foremost, especially those who have the biggest needs. That's showing respect for who we are, humanity. Once you cultivate this instinctual caring behavior, like all infants display, it can become a perpetual motion machine of how you live. Simply apply this attitude to other individuals and groups. Treat other creatures around you with this softly tread respect. Like the Native American respect for Turtle Island, it is appropriate to take on a calm, unafraid awareness and resolve for nature and the future. What you can't respect is a lack of respect. Nothing demonstrates a lack of respect worse than coercive authority. Forcing someone to do something through intimidation, lies, and or violence is what all governments heavily lean on for their existence and perpetuation. We're taught to obey authority without question, and bullies use these same tactics to coerce people into doing things they otherwise would not do. You can't respect power. You can only disdain it. You respect those who fight for the little guy. Respect is like alacrity in your dealings with others, in conversations, and so forth. It's important to show others you highly respect yourself by saying what you will be doing and doing what you said you would in relation to those particular people. No one else has to know a thing about it. When you follow through on something for someone, it shows them respect for not lying to them and for respecting yourself enough to have it together enough to go through with whatever, especially with alacrity. Alacrity is that extra special flair that takes the project to another level in lickety-split time. It's that electric shock up and down your spine you feel when you read something marvelous. It opens new passageways in your wondrously expansive brain. It's a smile and a laugh and a talking to yourself while you're rereading what you just read. It's a Michael Jordan move in relation to the literature of understanding. It's respect with a capital R. Respect is making long thought out decisions about how to spend your time, how to manage your time. All right, respect is demonstrated solidarity and a willingness to engage in work intensive yet potentially fruitful mutual aid. Teaching yourself how to maximize your effectiveness in accomplishing these goals shows you have respect for the minutes and hours of your life and those of the people you associate with. People can feel this respect of yours to the cause. even if they don't hear from you in a while. And even if you have certain disagreements, a mere mention of that respectful person sends a flood of memories and positive respect-infused dealings with that person in the past. How you appreciate to be treated is a good guide for your behavior. It's a consistency and a doggedness, but it's not an ego-driven thing. It may seem like it to some, but they don't try to understand it or feel it. Just do it, diss it. Maybe they feel disrespected because they're not part of it. But you've got to make the connections yourself. They don't fall from the sky. Respect the person by overtly engaging them in conversation with that person. Go visit them, call them, write them, question them. Even dropping a note, blowing them off is better than nothing. Sounds great, right? Problem is, we're all damaged goods. Some thrown together like worms in a box. Our whole lives we've been abused and lied to, miseducated and threatened. How is anyone supposed to treat anyone, trust anyone to respect them?
Seeds. 25 years in the freezer, long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, click on the hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorp to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What are we doing right? It goes in the gun.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind.
Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. Pastor Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
They're gonna stop us! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. Well, you've been beating
time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. It's just those that get hard. But you can take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. And unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
When you call down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
You
tell them
I'm coming, and I'm coming with me, you hear?
I'm coming with me. Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic ride.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Maggie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays, 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, from Port Orange, Florida, with stops at World News Trust and Nation of Change and many other sites, here's Phil Ferruccio with It's the Empire, Stupid.
Okay, good evening, Working Stiffs. This might be my last column for the summer, so I hope you enjoy it. Save America from America with a K. Reject the empire. You know, to faithfully begin to save our great republic from the predatory sharks and wizards of empire, one must start with our phony mainstream media. We should not need to hasten back any further than the days before and after our illegal and immoral invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. The bastard child of these horrific endeavors was, of course, our empire's occupations of both countries. How can any dissenting patriot forget March 19th, 2003, which I personally was crying that morning when I saw what was happening? Just as with December 7, 1941, that day will live in infamy, to quote FDR. Do any of you out there remember how a so-called third estate reacted from March 19, 2003 on? Who can forget Lester Holt of MSNBC, who is now an anchor, and Aaron Brown of CNN, and little Katie Couric of NBC basically cheerleading our disgraceful shock and awe carpet bombing campaign against Iraq. These phony stations made sure to have the latter three people, as well as all their colleagues, continually interviewing a myriad of right-wing retired generals. The goal was simply to explain and transform the horrors committed by us into a just war excuse. The little Katie yelped out her famous line of, "Marines rock!" just after they rolled through to Baghdad. Probably the biggest phony of the so-called news talk hosts had to be Chris Matthews of the usually Democratic Party-leaning MSNBC. When our idiot stooge of a president landed on that aircraft carrier outside of San Diego and pranced around with his flight suit, Matthews gushed with excitement. He called it, quote, "amazing display of leadership," unquote, and, quote, "I think we all like having a hero as our president." When will our citizens realize that it matters not which of the two parties our president or our Congress comes from? Since the Wizards of Empire most likely killed JFK when he tried to cease being their stooge, all our presidents thereafter have served the interests of the mega-rich and mega-corporations to the detriment of not only our own working stiffs, but to those around the globe. FDR made the mistake of trying to rein in the greed of capitalism, and he failed. They allowed him to put forth a multitude of safety nets, but the mega-rich were too powerful to be controlled. Of course, looking back, we see now that the fruits of the New Deal have become, 80-plus years later, a bad deal. The dumbing down of our public education system over the last 30 years, the cutting of our top federal tax rate from 90% in 1960 down to 39%, the destruction of the unions, to where there's less than 10% in the private sector, and the increase of military spending to over 50% of our tax revenues, and America with a K rules. This writer is too much of a peace activist to preach riot and violent revolution. Historically, when violence rules the day, the wrong people take over. No, this must take time to see a full harvest of truth and justice. We are apparently no better, as recent history, not revisionist history, has proven, need to share truth with our fellow Americans. We also need to totally reject the two-party con job completely. To continue to vote for the lesser of two evils still gives us evil. Too many good and decent fellow Americans fall prey to the propaganda thrown at them about the need, believe it or not, for more, not less, of our taxes going towards military spending. The two parties are involved in that. As the states and their cities crumble, continue to cut more needed services and infrastructure projects due to lack of funds, we must say no mas. Sadly, as with this latest spectacle of a presidential and rigged horse race, we are not heading in the direction of a banana republic. We are one. Thank you.
If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one. Better yet, give him none. Let him forget there is such a thing as war. If the government is inefficient, top-heavy, and tax-mad, better it be all those than that people worry over it. Give the people a contest they win by remembering the words to more popular songs or the names of state capitals or how much corn Iowa grew last year. Cram them full of non-combustible data. Chop them so damn full of facts they feel stuffed, but absolutely brilliant with information. Then they'll feel their thinking. They'll get a sense of motion without moving, and they'll be happy because facts of that sort don't change. Now for your local Earth news. This is Mike Polacek and Chuck Gregory with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard.
This from Ed Fallon of Des Moines, Iowa, regarding an issue he's been involved in for years, the passage of pipelines through Iowa's farm fields. Dear friends, I hate being confined, trapped, imprisoned. I'd rather beat myself to a pulp walking across continents than spend time behind bars. But the hour has come in the fight to stop the Bakken pipeline. When mass civil disobedience is needed, if you haven't yet signed the Pledge of Resistance, please read it over and sign today. If you have signed, please share the pledge with your networks. As we need 1,000 people committed to risking arrest if our show of force is to be credible and effective. We no longer have a lot of time or options in this fight. Other strategies have delayed the pipeline and deepened public opposition. Hundreds of patriotic Iowans who value life, liberty, and our land have fought this battle through every available venue. 10 brave holdout landowners continue to pursue legal redress through the courts, but even that won't stop Dakota Access from tearing up Iowans' farm ground, forests, and river bottoms. A ruling on the lawsuit will work its way through the legal system slowly. In the meantime, Dakota Access is poised to push forward with construction. We need President Obama and the Army Corps of Engineers to step forward, to do what's right, to put an end to the madness of this unprecedented expansion of fossil fuel infrastructure, enabled by an abuse of eminent domain that violates the very heart of the U.S. Constitution. We need the President and the Corps to make the right policy decision. We need them to do it now. Important policy changes often come only after a dramatic show of force by large groups of committed people defiantly and nonviolently breaking the law. That's why you signing the Pledge of Resistance is so important. It's a tough decision, one that shouldn't be taken lightly. As you weigh the decision of whether or not to sign, consider this. The large protests at farm foreclosure auctions in the 1980s inspired broader public empathy for family farmers and led to Congress adopting Chapter 12 of the Bankruptcy Code in 1986, which brought some helpful and much-needed relief to many financially distressed farmers. According to Donald Swanson, in the 1980s farm crisis, some lessons learned. The Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act passed only after mass mobilizations and thousands of arrests of African Americans and others in the 1960s. The 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, granting women the right to vote, passed after years of protest, agitation, and nonviolent civil disobedience by brave women and their enlightened male allies. We're at that point in the battle to stop big oil from running roughshod over farmers, landowners, tribal communities, our water, and our land. In Iowa and across the country, patriotic Americans are fighting back against pipelines, fracking, and drilling. The tide is turning in our favor as pipelines were recently stopped in Georgia, New England, New York, and elsewhere. With enough of us standing side by side with landowners who continue to resist, we can stop backing. So please, sign the pledge today. To learn about the Pledge of Resistance, go to the Fallon Forum online, fallonforum.com.
And this regarding the new 9/11 documentary by Tony Rook, entitled Incontrovertible, these review blurbs. Simply put, this is not just the best film I've seen on 9/11, it's the best film I've seen all year. Sergeant John Meters, 32-year ex-California police officer. One of the best 9/11 movies ever made, Kevin Barrett, Truth Jihad Radio. All family members of a 9/11 victim should watch this film. Matt Campbell, victim family member. Incontrovertible is technically brilliant. Ian Henschel, author 9/11 Revealed and 9/11 The New Evidence. Moving, powerful, and informative, Niles Herrick, veteran truth campaigner. Artfully crafted, manages to convince cumulatively that there are still questions to answer. Joe Gill, journalist, Middle East Eye. Absolutely first rate, the film manages to navigate the broad aspects of 9/11 with all the complexity and even tie it with 7/7 and JFK while avoiding the pitfalls of discredited speculative theories. I have no hesitation in sharing this with anyone. David Chandler, retired physics teacher. And the film is called Incontrovertible. It's by Tony Rook. You find it on YouTube. That's all, folks. That's the news, and we are out of here. Good night and good luck. And so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Step up to the plate. Good to go. Take it to the next level. At the end of the day, bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is. It's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire. Our next guest is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney is a Black Panther Party veteran, former Minister of Interior of the Republic of New Africa, former political prisoner, and the only American to have successfully self-authored his civil political rights case to the United Nations under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And Chuck will be getting Larry on the line in Minneapolis right about now.
Hello, Larry speaking.
Well, hello, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Great. Thanks. Hi, Chuck. Hi, Mike. Hope you brothers are doing well. Hello to the audience. Let me get right to it since the time is limited. What I'd like to do this evening, the 16th of June 2016, is to go back in time a little bit to January of 2011. I'm going to read a short article that was first published in January of 2011. It's an article that I wrote entitled, Is the United States a Nation of Psychological Androids? I began by quoting Lucy Parsons, who said, quote, never be deceived that the rich will allow you to vote away their wealth, unquote, Lucy Parsons. The next quote I use is from the late, great Howard Zinn, who said, if those in charge of our society, politicians, corporate executives, and owners of press and television, can dominate our ideals or ideas, they will be secure in their power. They will not need soldiers patrolling the streets. We will control ourselves, unquote, the late, great Howard Zinn. The article itself says, have we allowed ourselves to become psychological androids, putty and or expendable cannon fodder in the hands of the corporate military elite of this nation and its subservient corporate stream media? The word android is defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as, quote, a mobile or mobile robot, usually with a human form, unquote. Now yet, beyond the mere physical aspect of what an android is the all-powerful psychological component on the part of who is actually in control of the android. When humans cease to be in control of their own ideas and creative processes, we are in essence relegated to psychological androids. As the late political organizer Steve Biko noted, quote, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed, unquote. I go on to say, everyday black, white, brown, red, and yellow people in this nation have entered the year 2011 under the yoke of the most hideous and vicious forms of national and global corporate exploitation, domination, in other words, hegemony, and military madness as yet visited upon humankind. Meanwhile, the nominal black-faced emperor of the insane U.S. Empire piously and relentlessly feeds our sons, our daughters, our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, aunts, uncles, and cousins into the flaming, insatiable ovens of corporate greed and military insanity. As we steadily lose our jobs, our homes, educational opportunities, futures, and our legal and human rights, we are told that war is actually peace, or at least guarantees peace, and that we must willingly sacrifice ourselves upon the blood-drenched altar of an endless war against, quote, terrorism, unquote. Never mind, as the late historian Howard Zinn pointedly and correctly observed, quote, how can you have a war on terrorism when war itself is terrorism, end of quote. Moreover, war enriches the coffers of the already bloated corporate elite while simultaneously increasing, not diminishing, increasing, quote, terrorism. None of this is lost upon the cunning minds of the corporate military elite or the diversionary corporate stream media or vomit stream media. We everyday ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people watch racial and national tensions heighten as economic resources become ever more scarce for we common folk, while the rich become even richer. We watch as the most repressive and unjust political and economic laws are passed and enacted against the people of this nation in the name of so-called bipartisanship, and then swiftly spun away by a treacherous, complicitous corporate stream, vomit stream media. We watch as arguably the most articulately draconian president in the history of this nation adroitly sets the stage for a blatant corporate fascist state, all in the name of, quote, hope and change. We watch in horror as the political, civil, and human rights of an entire nation are skillfully banished into obscurity right before our very eyes. Notwithstanding the undeniable fact that the previous Bush-Cheney administration's policies were clearly and utterly reprehensible, the answer to one question is very simple. How could political, economic, and social conditions have become so bleak in just 2 years? And remember, this was in 2011. Many people were simply not paying attention, thus allowing themselves to be euphorically swept up into a frenzy of non-critical thinking in futile anticipation of the fulfillment of the superficial so-called hope and change doublespeak rhetoric, which was dangled like a poisonous carrot by those who make up the present Obama-Biden administration. Moreover, instead of heeding the wise words of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he said people ought to be judged based upon the content of their character, not the color of their skin, so many did precisely the opposite. Thus, with the overwhelming backing and support of the corporate military elite and corporate stream media, for which major corporate support should have but did not sound a deafening mental alarm, Barack Obama became head of the U.S. Empire. Another crucial factor as to how and why everyday people could have been so thoroughly bamboozled is the shameful betrayal by much of the black intelligentsia and so-called left progressives, quote-unquote, in their support for the double-talking corporate Obama. I'm going to skip because my time is limited. Moving beyond the pain of betrayal, understanding that the corporate Obama Biden regime and the scandalous Democrats and Republicans in Congress have, for all practical purposes, established and codified into law a very real and often not so subtle police state in this nation, must serve to strengthen the resolve of we everyday people to throw off this unacceptable and intolerable situation. This peace prize-toting constitutional lawyer and purveyor of war, Barack Obama, has, despite himself, done something incredibly valuable. He has demonstrated for all conscious people to see that mere color or gender, etc., must never be the lone deciding factors by which crucial choices and or political decisions are made. He has demonstrated that superficiality is precisely that, superficial. The people in the United States must recognize that our struggle right here for political, economic, and political justice and human rights is also intertwined with the struggles of everyday people in Haiti, in Spain, in Greece, in Germany, in Norway, Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, Palestine, Zambia, and in every nation, in every corner of Mother Earth. This we must understand. We are not alone, no matter what the corporate stream, vomit stream media might try and have us believe. The planet, this planet, belongs to everyday people, not to the vampiric corporate elite. We must be the guardians and the sustainers of this planet. We must tell our stories, present our own narratives, both for the present and the future. Finally, I end by saying, as we the people, all of us, intensify our struggle here, let us remember our brothers and sisters around the world. No, we will not be the psychological androids of the corporate military elite in this nation or anywhere else. Let us move beyond betrayal to an actualized and sustained vision of renewal. Organize, organize, and then organize some more. What is at stake? Our very existence, that of our offspring, and that of Mother Earth, the planet herself. Onward then, my sisters and brothers, onward. And that's the way the article ended from January 2011. I ask that you draw some parallels from then, just a few years back, to the present day. This hypocrisy that's called democracy, this insanity that's going on in this country did not happen by osmosis. It happened by design. It is happening by design. So I'm going to end. I hope I haven't gone over my time. I want to thank all my brothers and sisters, all my sisters and brothers out there. And as always, all power to the people. Love you all. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Mike.
Larry, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, my brother.
Necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation. Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? You have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands when you know where it is. Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive.
Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? Well, squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock, Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Three young men are out in the country, road hunting and drinking, and somebody was shot. It's now dark, and they're hiding on a lonely dirt road out in the middle of nowhere. Rick has just told AC that he thinks he killed a Martian. A spaceman, I asked. How do you know? Are you sure? What did it look like? That's just what it looked like, Rick said. It just seemed like that. I don't know. Then why'd you shoot it, said AC? You idiot! I just got a look at AC. Rick slumped way down in his seat. He was crying hard now. We need to go back there, I said, as I turned around to stare down the dark road. You stupid shit, says AC. You asshole! Rick kept crying. We need to lose the gun, said AC. We sat still for a minute, staring. The lights of some tiny town were off to the right. I'd never noticed those before. And I think the flashing lights off to the left were from the airport. Then there was the slow-moving traffic on the highway. All kinds of like a moving painting of night. And in the foreground, you all just gather around over here. We have the black and white 1957 Chevrolet with the boys inside who just murdered an innocent alien human being, or alien being. And just behind them, we have the Stone Family Cemetery. Dating back to 1859, notice the big moon, the shadows of cows let loose in the cornfield after the harvest. There's a hint of understated looming gloom, of despair, and four lives ended abruptly. And fathers screaming, mothers crying, grandmothers punching stomachs with both hands. Is there a God, said Rick, in a whisper. Some people say aliens are God, said AC. Don't say that, I said. Another shooting star. That's the aliens looking for their friend, said AC. Shut up, I said. And another. Asteroids getting burned up in our atmosphere. Or an alien posse, maybe. It's true that this is an alien hotspot for some reason. Lots of people have sightings, or say they do. It could be because there's a regional collector country school called Area 51. It's west of town, big playground, really tall flagpole. I think kids from three counties go there. I think there's a God, I say. headlights are coming. Looks like they're right down the road. Oh, shit, we all think. I start the car. Rick barks. If I have to, I'll try to get past it. It's all I can do is try. We get caught. But what else can we do? Sit here and let ourselves be arrested for murder? It's not really murder, AC says. The headlights come to the mouth of our road and go past. It's an alien! Really? He turns toward us, pulls his feet up to his chest, presses back against his door. Like killing a Mexican. Oh, Rick groans like he needs to vomit. If they don't have papers, it's not like they're real, says AC. Why did you hear something like that? I said. My dad! Your dad, I said at the same time. Was he dead? I turned back. Blood blue, Rick said. Every effing where. He fell backwards, that's all I know. He might be alive, said AC. We need to go back there, I said. It was an alien, said AC. It had arms, I said. And legs, said AC. Aliens have those, said Rick. How would you know that, said AC? Because I saw him on the guy before I saw him. Oh, groaned AC. That don't make sense. Yeah, it does, said Rick. I turned around. Why did you shoot? I turned around more. You were going to shoot no matter who it was. Why? No, I wasn't. Bert, too, said AC. We both stared back into the dark. We couldn't see Rick. Too effing dark. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm freaking sorry. He pounded a fist into the seat, slammed the elbow into the back. Shit, God damn it! AC and I turned around. We sat. We might sit there forever. For a long time. What's it feel like, said AC, so quiet. Rick groaned.
Let me out! Hurry up!
He fell on his knees into the ditch. You could hear him puking. If it's an alien, nobody will ever know, said AC, while Rick rustled in the weeds like a wounded pheasant. That's true, I thought. How can it be an alien, I said. Maybe it's the escaped guy, he said. Rick got in. He smelled like puke. Time is, I gotta get home. Home, shouted AC. AC was right. We didn't have a home anymore. You know, you think you know what the world is, that the edge of the world is what you can see in your peripheral vision. That's it. You think that's what you've heard or read or experienced is what there is. And then when somebody shows you a book or information or something you just had no idea about, you fight it. You say, that can't be true. But then you're forced to expand your peripheral vision. This has happened to me. I think what's wrong with our town is that most people don't get confronted like that. Don't come up against this other shit. Here was some of that other shit. What are we gonna do, said AC. He slumped down, tired. Might be gonna fall asleep. Cops are coming. Aliens are looking for us. Rick still cannot talk about it without sounding all whiny and shit. He's turning out to be by far the whiniest murderer that I know. We go back, like I said. AC has his head all the way back and his mouth open. Something's going to land in there. I can do this. His hat fell outside a while ago. I'm not getting it. He's about half bald already. Be an old man by the time he's out of college. Well, probably not going anyway. Rick is snoring, stretched out on the back seat. Legs are curled to his chest because it's getting cold out. So now I'm all alone. I wonder what we should do. I watch the bottom road for lights. Watch so hard I can't see a thing. You know, they say you shouldn't drink, but we've actually had some good times out drinking. Lots of stories about us. Legends in our own minds. I might write a book someday. Might include the dead alien. Well, not. If he even is dead. I know there was somebody that Rick shot. I saw that part. I saw him shooting. The guy fall backwards like he was shot. But I don't know who or what he was. An alien, right. Would be better, though. Wouldn't get the electric chair for that. The aliens don't exist. Can't even talk about them. Not at Thanksgiving dinner or the TV news or in the paper or coffee break. Just try doing it once. You can't. Can't talk about overseas bases, any of those things either. Not that anyone does. You can't stand up when some important person is talking in an auditorium and ask them what's on your mind. If you do, somebody will come and smile and show their teeth and take you by the arm. They'd end up doing that too, probably at Thanksgiving dinner if you kept it up. I wonder what he was doing howling out there in the night. Why'd he crawl up there like we were seeing the recreation of the stump scribbler without the bloody arm? I think Rick was just scared. Maybe he thought for a flash he'd be famous for nailing the Brooklyn Bridge writer. Maybe he did it because he was sad for his brother. Or he might not have thought anything at all. It was time to see and shoot. There weren't any more shooting stars or moos or semis. No hoo-hoos. Cemetery was right behind my left shoulder. And there was like some kind of newspaper stuck in one of the evergreen trees and it kept flapping. I could sort of see the headstones in my rearview mirror, which was pitch black. I couldn't stop looking. Rick had stopped snoring. Rick. AC was starting to curl up in the front seat. I put my nose almost to the windshield to see down the road. I saw nothing and every freaking thing. I started the engine and pulled on the lights carefully. I'm going, I said. I pulled away, slowly. Heard AC and Rick moaning and rolling around, hitting their heads and shit. I looked straight ahead and behind me and on both sides. It's like the weeds and trees and barbed wire fence were alive, watching, commenting. The moon was bright. Not like when there's hard-packed snow everywhere, but pretty light out. Roundabout was on the radio. I forget the band. I put the clutch in, coasted down. 24 before, my love, you'll see, I'll be there with you. And you participated in the killing of an alien. It sort of shrinks your world, kind of compresses things, brings everything closer together. You kind of look up at the sky like it's real there, like the stars and planets are real. It used to be like looking up at Christmas lights all over the sky. Nice, but fakey. Not really real. Not something that affected my life. More for little kids and shit.
I got down to the bottom, punched down my brakes, and then slammed on the brakes. And I started punching the steering wheel and silently cursing, whisper swearing. Some dumb farmer put one of those stupid scarecrows from their front yard right across from the entrance to Stone Road. Not a scarecrow, one of those things they make that you put different clothes and costumes on for different seasons and holidays. Freaky idiots. God damn it. I told the bright soul. God damn shit. Jesus, that scared the shit out of me. The gravel mumbled under my tires. I just kept going. Didn't see anybody. Took a deep breath, turned left onto the dirt road from the bridge. I could see it up there. All big and wooden and foreboding, like the bridge and moat to a medieval castle, or maybe just a really old bridge. My heart started to pump and pound, and I kept going. I stopped when I got to the bridge because I didn't know what else to do. The moon still shone in the water. Everyone was quiet, like nothing ever happened around here. I pulled up slowly onto the wood over the first board. Everything bounced and creaked and squeaked and moaned, and even though I was barely moving, I kept going. The slower I went, the more noise I made, all creaking and moaning, groaning. The sleeping beauties never woke up. We passed over the water, and I stared down toward the water by the river. I stopped right there under where the guy had been standing. Could have been a girl. I almost had to puke because of that flash thought of us killing a girl alien. Stuck my head out the window. Cold air helped. I looked down to where he would have landed on his back. It couldn't have been far from the bridge. Maybe in the sand, maybe the water. I looked for blood, red, green, on the boards or the metal. Turned off the key. The car relaxed at ease. Thought about it for a second, then I got out. I stood by the bridge edge and I gulped and looked down straight into the doe-like dead eyes of Alfred the Alien. He wasn't there. I leaned way over. Hey! Hey! A boo! I stood to listen. Nothing. Motherfucker! I shot around and saw AC sitting in his window, looking at me over the top of the car. What are you doing? He said. Shut the F up, I said. I need to get home, said AC. Time is it? Don't know, I lied. Where's Rick Dog? I pointed to the back seat, sleeping. What are you doing? What do you think? Looking for the spaceman? Uh-huh. I looked back down into the water, into the woods, to the sky. Hey. I dived inside to the glove compartment at AC's knees and pulled out the flashlight Mom had stashed there for just such situations. Aimed it into my eyes to test it. Blinded myself. Nice, I heard AC from the cheap seats. I moved again to the railing and shined a light at the sand, the water, the trees, gaining confidence. Into the sky. Way down the river, up at the bridge metal. I moved around and shined it on the world's most famous F.U. Maybe he flew, said AC. No, really.
He got hit, flew away like a wounded pheasant, got into the trees, down the river, buried himself in the dirt to hide and died with just his legs sticking out. They can do that. Well, maybe, I said. Still walking my light around. What's going on? Rick's head showed in the back, like a portrait of some kid half drunk waking up in the back seat of a black and white 57 Chevy. Somebody's coming, as he stated, like a bank teller on Thursday. He looked down the road at the headlights coming our way. Get in, Rick told me. I hurried in as AC hopped down from his window seat. Go, said Rick, ahead. We moved off slowly toward the lights. I heard Rick pushing shells into one of the shotguns, then switch more into another one. Give me one, said AC. What are you doing? I hollered. I looked at them in the rear view and out the sides of my eyes, keeping my eyes on the lights coming. Rick passed one of the guns up between the seat and the door. Ram them, he said. What? I said, keeping my eyes on the bright lights in my face. Ram him! We'll kill him and move to Canada! Do it, said AC. The thing kept coming. I shifted into second. Rick and AC pumped their guns. AC put a hand on his door handle. I threw my visor down. Jesus, I said. I punched my brights. Son of a bitch, said AC. Freaking cop, said Rick. Blowing the F away, said AC. I towed my brights again. Again. I took a deep breath, picked up speed. 15, 20. The whatever dimmed its lights, flicked mine down at almost the same time. We passed. No cop, said AC. No shit, I said. What was that, said AC. I shrugged, drove across town, out on the state hospital road, past the junior college and the state hospital to Prairie Park. I stopped and Rick shoved me up against the steering wheel getting out of the back seat. He loaded his arms with two of the shotguns and the rest of the 12-pack. He ran around behind, stuck his head in AC's window. Don't be saying nothing, he said. Not a damn thing. He looked at AC square in the eyes, and then me. He walked across the grass, then turned around. It never happened. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget, no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We thank you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream radio show. We hope you'll be back with us next week and every week, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thanks to you, Chuck. And thanks to our guests, MK, Frank, Phil, Larry, and Anthony. And as always, we apologize for our mistakes and plan to make fewer mistakes next week. Good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Marv Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hogstrong. Good night, Muhammad Atta. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easier if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time and the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. They just don't take it hard. The new can't take part. You can't even possibly take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears, upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. They don't let you free.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener.